See who I will be offending this morning? You guys, we had great trips before, but I got to tell you, this trip was the best trip that we've had. The Holy Spirit so moved and so continuously in the lives of everyone. It wasn't just, you know, it happened to have been clicking for these people over here and each person had their, or a group of people, or several people had their translator that they're working with. It wasn't just happening with them. God was moving. We happened to have been under the spout, like Pastor Chuck said when he was here, under the spout where the glory's coming out. We just happened to have gotten on an airplane and gone 8,000 miles to get wet by the Holy Spirit. God was moving, and I've never seen it quite like that. And in my life, personally, and I know I just wore my translator out, who's here now in this service, and I won't embarrass her any further than that, other than our voices were thrashed at the end of each day because we were just sharing constantly the love of the Lord with people. And I got to tell you, fishing has never been that easy in Russia. I don't understand, other than God's divine grace. We could hardly get the word out. We were seeing people. And you know, you're kind of walking around and I'm talking out loud. Most of the people can't understand English, so I've got my translator or maybe somebody who's tagging along with us, and I'm just going, okay, we're looking, there's one. And then there's times when I'll go and I'll say, do you see one? There's one right there. Let's go. And you know, they're in the crowd and off we go and walk right up to them, and I couldn't tell you how amazingly easy it was by the Holy Spirit to get them into the boat. One of the last few people that we saw come to the Lord was a man that in all appearances would not have been the man by appearance open to the gospel. He looked like he was from the Georgian Republic. He looked wealthy. He was young, I would say maybe like 30. He looked successful, no doubt. Probably connected to the mafia, possibly. And yet we walked up to this guy and began to share in just miracles. I mean, he accepts the Lord. That night brings his wife. She accepts the Lord. And that's how the trip went. And people will have story after story to tell you today. I'm going to ask the team that's been designated to share this morning if they would come up and kind of line up behind me. Maybe we can divide half of them on each side. Come on, you guys. Don't be shy. Come on up. And as they're coming, I want you to grab your Bible this morning and go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 this morning. It says in verse 47 in Acts chapter 2 that praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And we saw that happen. Again, we saw that happen. And the reason why verse 47 is in the Bible is because verse 46 is in the Bible. Look at verse 46. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food, that's the believers, with gladness and simplicity of heart. We had all things in common. We tore bread from the same loaf. We traveled about. We were in places for many of them that had never been there before. There's a tendency to kind of get close and hang on to your friend's hand for fear of getting lost in the midst of 6 million people. And the unity that created, God used greatly. And I got to tell you that this trip was the best for a lot of reasons. But what we heard last service and what you'll probably hear in the next, this service and the next, is that the Lord had knit the hearts of these people together. And it was great to be able to see people from this church. They didn't even know some of them went to the same church because they went to First or Third. And then to be rooming with them and then sharing the Lord and then to see miracles happen. Just really blessed them greatly. But they continue daily. And that's what these trips do, is that they begin to prepare the heart to be plugged into God for this trip was short, but normally a 2-week period of time. So for 10 days, these people were plugged into nothing but Jesus Christ. And I had the incredible opportunity to just kind of sit back and watch. And so if you're visiting for the first time, this is not our normal kind of a service. This is probably very much better. As they're going to share what God is doing in the hearts of one another and in themselves, and how I want to encourage you to listen to what they have to say, have the boldness to pray. Lord, if you want me to kind of maybe remotely pray about this, do it and join us on September 18th when we go to do it again. So let's listen. I'm going to ask you guys, now here's the deal. I'm going to ask you guys to come on up. I'll send you up one at a time. And if you go too long, watch Guy, because he'll have a hammer and a flashlight to get your attention. Or I'll grab you and kind of put you over there somewhere. But just share what's on your heart and share what the Lord's done. And before we do that, let's pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, there may be those here today for the first time. Maybe it's their second week here, or third week, or we've been gone while they've come. And Father, we ask you to remind them that today's by a divine appointment. Lord, that it's not an accident that they're here. It's not an accident that we're not going through Thessalonians today. It's not an accident that they're sharing about what you've just done in Russia. And Lord, it's not an accident that they're hearing what you have to say. Father, we pray for those who have sat in this body for maybe several months or a couple years. And maybe today you'll talk to them and speak to them. It happens every time. That there'll be somebody that you'll grab their heart and say, this might be for me. Lord, we pray for this church that you would make it a polished, pretty palace of a place. But Lord, it would be a house, a working house. Just like a working farm or a working institute where people are applying themselves for the betterment of the kingdom and for the glory of Jesus. So Father, we pray that you will take our efforts, whatever they may be, and Lord God, that you would use them. Father, that one more knee on that final day will bow willfully to Jesus Christ and say, he is my Lord and Savior. Just by the efforts of one or two people from this place or this entire church corporately. So Lord, bless now as they share their hearts on what's gone on. Praise you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys, this microphone can't hear all that well, so talk nice and clear and loud, and it'll get you. So, Jeff, go for it, man.
Praise the Lord. Didn't have time to worry about this. I didn't really have a heart to go. I went because the Lord opened the doors, and he told me to go. I had a hard time leaving. And just like Jack said, it was awesome. So I'd like to share some of the highlights from me. It was the first day, and it was raining a little bit. And I think it was the second person that I was speaking to was right there. I mean, he was deciding whether he was going to accept Jesus Christ right now. And he was wavering. And, you know, I didn't know quite what to do. And Jack comes in to the circle and sort of takes it from there. And it still took about 15, 20 minutes for this guy to make a decision, but he did. And it was great because we were huddled together under the umbrellas, and it was just really something special. But it wasn't an hour or two later. I really don't know. I mean, it may have been the next guy. I don't know. But it was soon later. I had another person. It's like fishing. You know, you have another one on the line here. And, I mean, I was at the right – I was just at the right – that same place. And I had remembered what Jack had shared. He had shared Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I believe he had, like, touch in his heart. And so I thought, well, what the heck? I'll do the same thing. So I was getting, you know, we had one, you know, I said, you know, the Lord is right there. You know, he's knocking at your door right now. And he accepted the Lord, you know. And it was neat. So he prayed and so forth. Well, a few days later, there were several others in between, but I noticed, I mean, there was another one that was sort of similar. So I went for it again, Revelation 3:20. Knocked, you know, hit his chest a little bit and really, you know, we were focused and intent and everything. And he was still thinking. He was just sitting there. And my good buddy and partner, Joe Lynn, said, listen to your heart right now. Listen to your heart. Don't listen to your head. And the Russian people sort of do it, you know, they have ears to hear, actually, you know, and they listen to their heart. And he said, okay. He accepted the Lord. And that's the way it was. We went from person to person. We were the Lord gave me a boldness that I had never had. He gave me an unction or whatever to just go, and it was really tremendous. Another situation, I got to the point where I was sharing with maybe two or three people. This is the most memorable for me. I had three guys in front of me. They were teenagers. And I had just got to the part about sharing Jesus. I was basically going by the outline as described by the call, basically, and that worked great. But I was just to the part of Jesus. And the play, that the street drama team had just got to the part of Jesus in their play. And Jesus was ministering to these characters. And I do mean characters, but he was ministering to these characters. And I was ministering to these guys. And right at the same point, and it just pumped me up, and I was going. And it was just, I felt like Billy Graham there for a minute. But the center guy was the spokesperson, and I said, "So, do you want to accept the Lord right now? Change your life. Become born again." Nah. So I didn't focus on him. So I feel that the Lord led me to the other guy. He said, "What about you?" "Yes." "What about you?" "Yes." And so I said, "Well, you pray too. What the heck? Maybe you change your mind." So we all prayed. And the guy on my partner said, he didn't pray out loud. Oh, shoot. You know, I was sort of bummed a little bit. But what the Lord knows, you know. So that night, the guy that didn't pray came, brought somebody, and the guy he brought came forward. And it's like, oh, praise the Lord. It just, the Lord was working in so many awesome ways. Another time, we were forever looking for translators. So I was looking around, and Daniel, who is translating for Jack, "You need a translator?" "Yeah." So I was able to share with two guys that had been across the street. They were welders, and they had seen us go by them every day. The whole body had ministered to them in their smiles and, "Hey, how you doing?" Well, they accepted the Lord too. It was so easy. I turned to my translator at one point and said, "Are you sure these guys accept the Lord? It just is too easy." "Yes, they accepted the Lord." And the cohesion that we had with the translators was just phenomenal. I mean, I wish I could go on, but it was just so neat. At one time I had two people that didn't, and I was a little bummed out. So I turned to the translator and said, "Well, you pick one." And so they did, and it was, you know, we got one that really wanted the Lord, and just it went that way. So I would highly recommend you considering praying about this. It was, I like I said, I didn't really have much of a desire, but it was really tough to leave. The Russian people are awesome. You can't help but to love them. And just one more thing, there was a lady that I wish there was a translator there, but a lady held my hand, stroked my hair, kissed my hand. I said, "Where is a translator now that I need one?" You know, but she was saying the same word, I guess, means thank you. It just broke my heart. She was very small, very feeble, very dirty. And your heart just goes out to these people. Really does. So to the point where can't wait to go back. So anyway, thank you for praying. You did great. We felt it. And praise the Lord.
Jed, I didn't tell you this, but I've been trying 2 years to get you to go. And then once we got you up here, we couldn't get you to stop. Remember that, though, because he was a little slow in going, and now look what's going on in the heart. So that's awesome.
Hi. Ever since I was about 10 years old, I've wanted to be a missionary. And this has really helped me understand what it means. And seeing the people that are so easy to talk to. You think they're going to be hard. You go up to them, and they just accept the Lord right there. They don't even have to think about it. And then seeing them come to church and raise their hands and worship just as we do. It's really neat to see. I had a wonderful time there. You know, when I got up there, I thought, well, you know, nobody had ever told me how hard it was to leave them. When you leave, you see them. You see all the translators, and they're crying and you're crying. And you just think, wow, you have to go back so that you can see him again. You can't wait to go back. So, and you miss him, like I miss him right now, you know? So I'm just really, I really want to encourage you all to pray about going.
This was my second time going, and the first trip was way different than this one. And I kept praying before. I was all, okay, God, you know, give the team members a chance to witness before we get there. And so we get on the plane, and I sit down, and there's this guy sitting next to me, and he looks kind of young. And I just start talking to him. His name was Max, and he was from Estonia, and he was 16. And I just started, like, talking to him, and he's asking why we were going there. And I was all, okay, I'm just going to share with him. So I give him the gospel, and I go, you know, do you want to accept the Lord? And he's all, yeah. And I, like, look at him all, really? And he's all, yeah. And I go, oh, my gosh, because I'd never led anybody to the Lord before. And I was all, oh, my gosh, you know, I have to remember the prayer and all this stuff. But it was so rad, and I, like, ran to my friend. I'm all, oh, I just led somebody to the Lord, and he accepted. And I was so excited. And so then I was, like, pumped for the whole trip. And we get there, and just seeing all the translators that I left last time, it was just so awesome. You have such a unity with them. I mean, they're 8,000 miles away, and you just have this love for them, and you just want to see them all the time. And you guys, it's so awesome there. Me and my friend were witnessing to this guy, and he, like, walked up, and he had a beer in his hand, and I was like, I don't know if I should talk to him, but the Lord just led. And I started talking to him, and he didn't understand the trust thing, you know, why should we trust Jesus? And he said, you kept... You know, he's all, can't you just trust your wife? And I said, well, yeah, you trust your wife, but she's not going to get you to heaven. He goes, well, my wife can get me to heaven. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't handle this. And I looked at my friend, and I go, you know what? I don't think I can do this. You know, I'm not going to be able to do it. And he goes, you know what? You're not going to do it. God's going to. And God just filled us both with his knowledge. We just, every question this guy had, we had an answer. Every question. I was like, afterwards, I was all, oh, my gosh. You know, he didn't accept the Lord, but there was such a seed planted. He goes, I'm going to go home and tell my wife, and all this stuff is so awesome. But there's two verses I want to share with you before I go down. And the first one is Mark 16:15, and it says, he said to them, go out into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And then the other one is Matthew 28. Hold on, I lost my thing. Yeah, that one. 28:19. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you guys, you don't have to go all the way around the world to spread the gospel. You can just walk out your front door and go next door and tell your neighbor about God, you know. And that's like totally stepping out of your comfort zone, and it's hard. But once you do it, you're like, yeah, I can do it, you know. And you're just talking to everybody. I mean, now, like, I just want to tell everybody about Jesus. And I don't know, it's just rad. So pray about going, and it'll be awesome. You'll fall in love with everybody there. And I don't know, I can't wait to go back. Okay,
thank you. Hi, my name is Teresa. And last year I was one of the people on the prayer team. I had just come to the church a year ago in March, and everybody had already been making plans. And I turned into a little pouty girl because I wanted to go to Russia last time. And when I was doing my prayer time, I took it very seriously. And I was reading back through my journals yesterday. And I want to share with you a verse. This was from Russia last year, but it was this year also. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I was not as fortunate as Judd. Judd went fishing. I mean, I got to hang around him, and every person, he just started leading him to the Lord. I could have been discouraged because not one single person that I talked to came to church. But I was praying, and I really felt that God was showing me that I was there for two reasons. My gift is that I'm an encourager, and I got to meet three translators that have touched my heart deeply. Pastor Jack said that some of us would sow, some of us would plant, and some of us would reap. And I do believe that the people that I did get to talk to, I planted seeds. But I want to share with you two stories, and since Jed didn't share it, I'm going to take his story. He brought jeans. and he brought three pairs of jeans for, we called him brown-haired Dima. And that night at dinner, Dima had a pair on, and Judd said, he shared us the story, and he said that as I was giving them to him, I told him they might not fit, but they did. And Dima said, "Thank you so much. The only pair of jeans I have on are the only pair of jeans I own are the ones I have on. Thank you so much. And you've given me so many. I want to give the other ones to other people." Talk about humbling. By the time I left, I wanted to I was very selfish before I went. I was worried that I wouldn't have enough for me. And God just really changed my heart. I just wanted to give everything. I went shopping yesterday for one of my translators, Nellie. And it was like, I wish I had more money, because I wanted to buy her just, she needed toothpaste, toothbrushes, vitamins, basic needs. But these are things that she doesn't have. And so I just am praying that God would just somehow bless me so that I can send them more. But Lena was also a translator that Dima, the other Dima that Robin brought home with her, she was not a Christian. She had borrowed, she had gotten a Bible from Dima, and she says, "I want to get up on the terms," because she was had gone to the Orthodox Church, so she really didn't know what Christianity was all about. Well, all of us probably lovingly overdosed her on the gospel. I mean, Pastor Jack finally said, "Back off. This poor girl is like, I don't want to hear anymore. My boyfriend said I'd come and hear all this, and I'm hearing it." But God had put on my heart to bring my Bible to Russia. And at the very, very beginning, I had told her I would like to give her my Bible. And I couldn't understand. I said, "God, she already has a Bible. Why would I give her another Bible?" Well, the very last night, she came up to me and she said, "Teresa, I just wanted to know, can I still have that Bible?" And I said, "Oh, yes, of course." She said, "I only borrowed that Bible from Dima. I don't have a Bible." And I was able to sign it to my new Russian friend. And that's where the encourager comes in. She did not receive the Lord, but I am going to continue to write her faithfully. And I'm looking forward to the day that she says that she has given her heart to the Lord. I just wanted to share one last thing that I will never forget as long as I live. I hope that maybe with some Russian people that are in our church, when we all sang "Our God is an Awesome God," and it started out, we sang it in Russian, and then we sang it in American, and we kept going back and forth. The very last verse, we sang it together. It was so incredible. And they said that when we went to Russia, it would change our life, and it did. And I hope all of you can pray about going. Thank you.
Now I know why Jack is always so hot up here. My husband and I were able to go to Russia together, and that in itself is a whole testimony. The Lord brought us through some really amazing obstacles. But what I want to share with you, and we've kind of already talked about it, is about fishing. In Matthew's gospel, the Lord calls his disciples to be fishers of men. And the Lord really impressed that on my heart on this trip. I started thinking about the fishing trips I had with my dad. And there were many days that we would sit out on the banks and fish and catch a lot of fish. And we were sure we had the right bait in the right spot. And we'd go back the next day with the same bait to the same spot and not catch anything. And that's the way Russia was for me. There were days that I was able to lead people to the Lord. And in fact, I kind of used the analogy that there were some days that the fish literally jumped into the boat without even having to put the hook in the water, just asking for the way to go to heaven. But the hardest days for me were the days that I was able to share about the love of God, but the people were not always that receptive. They wanted to think about what I had to say. And one young lady I met named Olga came to see me every day at the metro. She left her job, and it was like an appointment for her. She looked for me through the crowd and looked for my translator and found me. And every day I talked about the Lord with her. Every day I shared from my heart. She shared from hers the hard life that she has. And she was completely amazed that I would leave my children behind just to come and talk to the Russian people. And when I left, I had hopes that she would come to know the Lord. But she grabbed my hand the last day, begging me to give her my address, and wanting me to promise that I would continue to write her and keep in touch with her. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, so many of us here even have Olgas in our life that are not going to jump into the boat the first time. They need a little bit more prayer, and perhaps you have someone like that in your family. Lena, as we were sharing, she also didn't come to know the Lord when we left. But sometimes it's those big fishes, those ones that will do amazing things for the Lord that take a little bit longer. And so I'm thrilled. It took me 3 years to go, and the Lord did some really amazing things. And just to be able to share with you right now, that's amazing. So thank you.
I've got to tell the team that Lena, when we're getting on the bus to head to the airport, she had pulled me off to the side and she said, I want to work again. Can I work again? Can I do this again? She said, not because of the money, not because of what I was paid. I want to do this again. And I said, you know, I said, you've heard the gospel this week and you've seen some things happen. Why? You know, why? And she said, you know what? And listen to this. This is what the Christians were famous for in the first century. According to the secular, the humanist historians, she said, because the love that I see the Russian Christians having for the American Christians and the American Christians for the Russian Christians, there's no nationality, there's no division, there's just this tremendous love. And she said, I want to work again so I can have this again. And Lena, if you guys remember her face when we were leaving and all, she's a marked woman. The Lord has nailed her. And listen, she will. She'll come to faith in Christ. It's going to happen. You'll see this happen. So,
this is by far the hardest part of the 2 weeks. So I'm kind of going to picture you guys all as fourth graders. Okay, you're about that height right now. One thing that really struck in my mind is we're in this subway metro, they call it. It's really crowded, and the old ladies always get the seat, and there's this Russian old lady sitting in the seat, and Sarah Andrews is standing right next to me, and this little old lady says, what are you guys doing? In Russian, of course. And so Sarah got the opportunity to plant the seed with her, and Sarah's only about this big, 11 years old. Well, she's probably about this big. But that just touched my heart, because God can use any of us. I know for a fact, when I signed up on that list, that I really didn't know what I was getting into, because I've never had to witness to anybody on the street. That's way out of my comfort zone. Then on top of that, I'm going to the meetings, and Jack says, okay, we're going to name the team leaders now, and you'll be in charge of 7 or 8 people. Your responsibilities will be to get them on this busy metro, make sure no one gets lost, and always keep track of them. And he named me. And I just was going, oh, I can't believe this. So then we're on the plane over there, and I get separated from the rest of the group. I'm sitting by myself with 2 other people. I have no idea who they are. So I have my Bible, and I have some tapes that from Jack from Wednesday nights. So I'm listening to the tapes and reading my Bible, and I'm thinking, I'm sitting next to a boy who's 14 years old. His name is Lloyd, and he's from Huntington Beach, but he's going to go over to Europe for a few months. And I said, you know, and God was leaving it on my heart that I should share with. And I'm thinking, oh, no. We're not even over there yet. I don't want to do this yet. So I said, you know what, God, if he asks me questions, I'll answer questions, no problem. So I feel this tap on my shoulder, and I already been talking with him a little bit about other stuff, and I feel this tap, and he says, what are you reading? Oh, no. I'm reading Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you've been saved. And then, so I kind of explained to him a little about that, and then he goes, what are you listening to? So then I just stopped the tape, and I said, okay, let me tell you. So I gave him the gospel. Now, he didn't accept it right there, but I planted a seed, and I gave him the tape that I was finished with. I gave the tape to him so that he could listen to it when he got some time. Those are the things that God will take us out of our comfort zone to use us. On the way back, I didn't know what I was going to be sharing up here, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to start reading. So I opened my book to Jeremiah, and I started reading chapter 1, and I'd like to read verses 5 through 10 with you because it was really fitting. Before, and this is about Jeremiah, who didn't think he was capable of being a prophet either. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And that's what God did with me, because I didn't know what to say to these people, and I just trusted in God to lead me every single day, just to fill me. Thanks.
I agree with Craig. This is probably the hardest part of this whole experience, is coming in front of everybody else. But I thank God for the privilege to have been able to go over to Russia, especially with this very special group of servants that are behind me, and many which for some reason didn't necessarily wear their Apostle Ross shirts out there. I hope before we're finished, Pastor will ask everybody that went to, that's here to stand. But just a real honor for me to be able to go with such a neat group of believers. It was definitely an opportunity to be stretched and to grow. It was hard work. It wasn't a vacation. It wasn't sitting out in the Chase Lounge taking in the rays in Hawaii or anything else. It was, for some of us, demanding, I think, beyond our strength. But it's in our weakness that God proves his strength and he's glorified. One of the things that there are a lot of experiences, personal experiences I could share with you of different people that I met on the street. In Russia, their economy and their lifestyles are so rough that it's hard for them. I had a couple people that said, I just have too many problems to be able to have time for God. And it took a lot of persuasion to try and convince them that, not that God was going to solve their problems, but that there was a more important issue, a more important problem that they had to face in their life as far as what was going on in their life, and that was what their eternal destiny was. And to make them to take a step back and say, the problems that you're facing right now, unemployment or abuse in the family or whatever, might be a problem, but the most important problem that you have in your life is the fact that if you do not receive what God has given to you, the gift of Jesus Christ, that you will die in your sins and that you'll have eternal separation from God. But the people there definitely have a hard life, and it was just an opportunity for us to reach out and love people. They had a hard time dealing with the fact that we weren't just missionaries, but that we were just ordinary people that were truck drivers or business people or whatever that had come to, 8,000 miles to stand on a corner for like a whole week, just standing on the corner all day long talking to people. And they knew that because they'd see us every day. People would walk by and they'd see the same group of fanatical Christians standing on a corner talking to people about God. But I think the thing that impressed me the very most that I'd kind of like to share with you today is the fact that it amazed me how God could take such a large number of people from diverse backgrounds, different nationalities, different cultures, different languages, and knit them together into one team for one common purpose. He started with the core Calvary Chapel Church planning team out of Moscow. And for those of you that don't really understand, I want to just take a second so that you have a little bit of understanding how the whole mission fits together. There is a group that's with Calvary Chapel Church Planning, which is headed up by George Bryson out of Calvary Chapel, originally out of Calvary Chapel Vista. And these are a group of people that live in Moscow. They're Americans from Long Beach and different areas in Southern California, and I'm not sure, from Hawaii. One guy was from Hawaii, one guy from Tucson, that are there. And they're basically the support, the logistical support coordination for us. They're permanently there in Moscow serving the Lord for as long as the Lord has them there. But here's just a group of people, just willing servants of the Lord to take care of the logistical support for us, getting us places, making sure that we could get tokens for the metro, making sure that we were fed, making sure that transportation, people were picked up at the airport, all those types of logistical things were taken care of. He took a group of Russian translators. Some of them were right there from the churches, the church that we were focusing on, Pastor Paul's church in North St. Petersburg, some from the central St. Petersburg Calvary Chapel, some from down in Moscow that had come up. But just a super neat group of people, and most of them were believers, but we were talking earlier about Lena hadn't accepted the Lord, and there was an opportunity for her. Definitely by the time we had gone through a week of sharing with people on the streets day in and day out, she had heard the gospel from just about everybody in the group and how the Lord had changed their lives. And so we know that she's heard the gospel, and it's just a matter of time for the word to settle and work in her heart. He took the Russians that were in the local church. They were out there on the street. Even if they weren't translators, they didn't speak English, they were out from the local church in the street with us. There were those of us that were out there sharing our faith. There were those that were the musicians that came from Seattle, came from Phelan out in the desert, came from here in our local body to be able to bring their musical talents that were just phenomenal, the musical talent that we had there on the street to attract crowds. The drama group that did the presentations, and how the Lord knit all those people together. And then especially for those of you that were back here praying for us, the Lord took all those individuals and made them into one unit for one purpose, and that was to change lives on the streets in St. Petersburg and to help build the church there in St. Petersburg. And our God is an awesome God who can take so many different people and use them in that way. And I just wanted to really quickly read a passage now that I closed my Bible and I lost my page. From Ephesians chapter 4, and it says, "For he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, to whom the whole body, being fit together and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." And there were definitely a lot of different parts of the body, hands, fingers, feet, arms, legs, that were working together in this ministry. And I'm just thankful that I had an opportunity to participate in that. Thank you.
First of all, I want to say it was a real honor and a privilege to be able to serve the Lord in St. Petersburg, Russia. This is my second time. And one of the things that really struck me was how open the people are. I've done some street witnessing here in the United States, and you can get any number of comments back in your face about where you should go and where you should take your Christianity. And it takes a real heart to go street witnessing here in the States. Over in Russia, the people come, they're curious, and you ask them if they have a few minutes, and they say, sure. Typically a few minutes, maybe a half hour. And you can stand and share and share and share and share, and they'll listen and listen and think and ask you questions, and it's totally amazing. Like Teresa, I was a planter and a waterer. Some of the seeds were planted. Some of the hooks were baited and thrown out, but when I was a kid, I used to go fishing and throw the hook in there, and the bait would come back, the hook would come back up, and the bait was gone. Well, while you're fishing for Jesus, you throw that hook out there, and you know that bait is not going to be on that hook when it comes back, because God's word does not come back void. And that's what you want. You want that hook to be empty when it comes back. So we threw a lot of bait out there, and Lord willing, that bait and those seeds will bear fruit. One of the most memorable things for me was this little boy that everybody calls my son. He was a little deaf boy. I met him second day we were there, and I started talking to him, and he would always just nod at me, and I could never understand why until I asked a translator to talk to him for me. And the translator told me he was deaf and he couldn't speak. So for 2 days, we made our own little sign language, and we could kind of talk a little bit and point to things. And he always wanted the candy out of my backpack. And 3 days later, I found out that one of the ladies that attend the church over there does sign language. So I put my arm around her, and I went and found my little pal, and found out for the first time in 3 days, I could talk to him, and we communicated. His name is Sasha, precious little guy. I was able to share the gospel with him, the love of Jesus Christ, and I never saw him again. And sometimes that's what happens. You'll meet someone, and you may never see him again, but that seed is always out there planted. The second most memorable thing for me is totally relying on God. Several people told me that God put the words in their mouth to say when they needed to say it. When a gentleman stood nose to nose with me and told me that he was a soldier and he was a murderer. He had killed 13 people. And he said, looked me right in the eyes, and he said, "And I could kill you right now too if I wanted to." And God put words in my mouth to tell him something back. And total reliance on God, totally out of our comfort zone. It's not comfortable, but it was a lot of fun. And I would encourage, like everyone else back here has said, and anyone you talk to will say, if you ever have a chance to sign the line to go to Russia, do it. Because God will change your life, and you'll never be the same. Thank you.
I've been a Christian for 12 years, and I never had the chance to share the gospel with anybody because the only thing I planted was my heels into the ground in resistance and sharing the gospel with people. And I didn't want to go to Russia either, but the Lord wanted me to go. And you know, I wasn't going to sign up. My friend comes up, and she's like, "Are you going to sign up?" She's all excited. She wanted to go so bad. And I'm like, "No, I'm not going to sign up." She's like, "Oh, please, please, just sign up. All you got to do is pray. It's just a commitment to pray about it. It doesn't mean you're going to go." So I said, "Okay, I'll just pray about it. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to pray about it. I'm not going to go." So anyway, I went, and she didn't. But the Lord is just totally in control. I resisted all the way. I sent all my papers in late, so it was like, "Lord, if you want me to go, you're going to have to get everything back in time, because you know I don't want to go. You're going to have to make me go." Well, he made me go. And I've just been so blessed by that. The only reason I went was out of obedience to him, because he wanted me to go, not because I wanted to. And even when I got there, I was like, "Okay, I can do this. I can hand out tracts and invite people to the concert. No problem, okay." And the first day was great. I had a great interpreter, and he was real encouraging, and he was like, you know, doing great. He's encouraging me, saying, "Yeah, you're doing a good job. Keep doing it." So I felt good. So the second day, I had a different interpreter, and I'm talking to people, and I'm inviting them to the concert and telling them, "Yeah, we're here to share the gospel." And then I got stuck. I was like, "I don't know what to say." And the interpreter said, "Well, share the gospel." "Well, I've never been able to share the gospel." "I can't do this." And I just froze up. And I just had to back out. And I just had to turn to the Lord and just pray and pray. And people were coming to me all discouraged as well. And I just prayed for them. And they were going right back out, bringing people to the Lord. One friend, the first girl I prayed for, she went out. First two girls she talked to came to the Lord. It was like, "Yeah, okay, I'm here to encourage. I'm not here to share the gospel." But I still felt like I was there to share the gospel with people. And so I just kept in prayer. And, I mean, even though I've been a Christian for 12 years, I'm like, "I don't know my scripture. What am I going to," you know, everybody's quoting scripture. And I'm like, "I don't know what to quote." I'm just totally, totally dependent on the Lord. So I just said, okay. So the third day out, I said, "Okay, Lord, you're going to have to give me the words to tell these people." And I just shared the gospel over and over and over with people. I just would, like, just stand there and say, "Lord, tell me what to say." And he would give me the words. And people would say, yeah, they would commit their lives to Christ. And I was just totally blessed. I was able to lead 6 people to the Lord there while I was there. And I've never done it. And on the way home, people are asking, and I'm sharing the gospel with a man on the airplane. And I came home, and I'm sharing the gospel with the ice cream man. I just, if anything, if you feel just the slightest little voice of the Lord telling you, just pray about it and turn to me and I'll direct your ways, then listen to him and sign up, because he wants to change your life like he did mine.
Anybody who knows me knows that I have a really hard time getting in front of people and speaking, so I wrote notes. Psalm 40, verse 1 through 5 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust, and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which you have done, and thy thoughts which are toward usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I just thank God that we get to see his work of taking people from that miry clay and setting their feet on a rock. It was so awesome there. In our weakness, he is made strong. We sat back and saw God move, and there's times when I felt like I was totally choking, like going, I'm thinking in my mind as I'm talking to this person, oh my gosh, if this person's getting anything out of this, I'd be highly amazed, you know? And I just went, Lord, please help me. Please give me the words to speak to this person, because I'm totally blowing it right now. And he did. He moved, and it was just by his spirit, not by anything I could have done. And in 1992, I heard George Bryson talk about going to Russia, and he explained it to be like a New York 100 years from now. And I thought, I wouldn't want to go to New York now. Why would I, like, want to go to Russia? And the Lord really ministered to me, like Monique shared first service, that to take us out of our comfort zone. And, you know, Lord, will you, change my heart to do this for you, to take me out of where I want to be? And he encouraged us to just pray. And I prayed about going to Russia for about 2 years. And then in 1994, God allowed me to go. And I can't even begin to explain how awesome it is to be able to give out God's word and see his spirit moving, not anything we do. We might think we know the gospel, and we might think that we have it, or maybe you think that you don't have it and you can't give it out, but it's nothing that we're doing except being obedient vessels for him to use. And I totally encourage you guys to start praying about, you know, going, if that's what God wants you to do, or even ministering here in some way, the call or whatever. But it is the most awesome thing. It is like such a blessing to be able to do that. And in Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So pray about it.
I wasn't told to wear my T-shirt. And and I walked in and I said, does that mean I don't have to share? And they said, no, you still have to share. So this is hard to do. First of all, I want to thank all of you who were praying for us, because we couldn't have done this without your prayers. We actually felt the prayers. None of us got sick. We slept good. Just the power of God's Spirit was there. And it's because you guys were praying for us, and we thank you. How can I begin to tell you of an adventure that I just went on in just 2 minutes, and I timed it. We're allowed to only do 2 minutes, so I'm going to 2 minutes. To tell you of the things I've seen, the people I've met, the places I've seen, and the people I've met. They've touched my life in an incredible way. God is so faithful. If there's one thing I've learned on this trip, is his faithfulness. I've seen prayers answered in just moments. We've seen the clouds part right over us, and then it began raining at our very last song. It was an incredible work of God. When we were on the street corner in St. Petersburg, people would stand and listen to music or the message, or they'd just watch the skits, and it would give us an opportunity to walk up and share God's word. Some of them would listen to our words. And the thing that I realized the most was that God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. I never really understood that until this trip, how God's word pierces the heart. I thought maybe it was our words, but it's not. I saw people hear these words, and some would weep with gladness, and they would accept, and they would walk away filled with Him. And then I'd see others who would weep because they couldn't understand that God loved them so much and He would forgive their sins. My heart ached for these that didn't feel worthy to accept Him. And at one point in the outreach, because of what I had seen and heard, which wasn't good, I became overwhelmed and I turned my back and I cried out to the Lord and I said, I can't take it anymore. I can't see anymore. I can't listen anymore because the people were hurting. And God didn't baby me. He turned me right back around and said, go back in. And I said, okay, I'll obey. And I'll tell you that I was scared when I first signed up for this Russia trip. And I even left a loophole, babysitting. If God didn't provide babysitting for my kids, I wasn't going. But He did. He provided everything. And as the time got closer and my husband signed that last check, God gave me an incredible peace. I can't even explain this peace because I've never felt it before this trip. He would ask me, are you nervous? And I wasn't nervous. I just knew that what I was doing was God's will, and I was obeying what He was calling me to do. And by stepping out and obeying God, He has blessed me far beyond what I expected. The bond with my family, my friendships. My mom even drove all the way up from San Diego to see me just because I think they thought I wasn't coming back from Russia. So, but God allowed our team to return to share what we have seen and what we've heard to all of you, and to go out and to preach His word. And for that, I'm so thankful. God never stopped stretching us. In Russia, I had to do a devotion, and I did it, but with a lot of prayer. When I was all done, I sat down, I relaxed, and I said, it is done. I'm not getting up, and I'm not going to speak again. Well, God must have been smiling at that moment, because here I am doing this. He will never stop using us if we've decided to follow Him. We go forward. I'm not afraid as much as I used to be because I know that He will never leave me and He will always be there for me. If you have the slightest bit of feeling to go to Russia, then take that step and don't stop until God slams the door. The blessings are great. If I can go and do this, I know anyone can do it.
Well, like Craig, I'm more comfortable in front of children, and this is really the hardest part of doing all this. When I first got to Russia, I was in such culture shock. I just questioned, God, what in the world am I doing here? My roommate and I, we were ready to go home, and we thought, you know, what have we gotten ourselves into? So we sat and we prayed, and the Lord just led us in the Bible to words of comfort. And we felt that He had really spoken to us, that He didn't send us there for any harm or anything else, but to prosper us. So we did okay that night, and we made it through that night. And the next day, we went out to outreach. And as we're driving to where we set up, I was looking out, and everywhere, all I could see was weeds. And I'm thinking, Lord, how am I going to cultivate in these people's hearts when all I see is weeds? So I just put myself totally in prayer, and I thank the people that were at home praying, because that's what really got me through it. And the Lord just gave me words that I never thought I had. He blessed me with an interpreter that became a dear friend of mine. And we did things on the street that none of us felt equipped to do. It was all God. He gave us the strength and He gave us the words that we needed. Some people truly just got a seed, but other people, that seed was sprouted. And some of us really got the joy of seeing that seed bloom into a flower. And I am so grateful now that I went. When I first signed up, I thought, well, I'm not sure why I'm going. I've only been going to this church for 6 months, and I really didn't know anybody, a few people. And I thought, I'm really going to be totally on my own. But that's what the Lord wanted. He wanted me to be on my own so that I could put myself aside and let Him increase in me. On this trip, I learned that I need to put all of my life in God's control. And I'm the type of person that likes to be in control of everything, so it was really a lesson for me. So many people were touched. So many people came to know Christ. The people over there, they live under conditions you can't imagine. It's heart-wrenching. And if you have it in your heart at all, just a small spark of wanting to go out and just touch these people, just by your going will be enough. When I first got there, a lady came up to me and she just hugged me and she was crying, and I thought, wow, why is she doing this? By the time I left, I knew why, because they just love us so much. We, in turn, love them so much. The hardest thing I did was to come home. I have a family. I have 4 children. But leaving the people behind was really hard. And I just thank Pastor Jack that he has a heart for Russia, that the Lord has given him this. Because if not for people like us, how are they going to hear? And I just thank everyone that offered prayers and financial support for me. And I was told that this was going to bless me beyond belief. And at first I thought, no, this can't happen. But it was true. I was blessed beyond belief. Thank you.
Real quickly. I'm going to get in trouble for doing this, I know. But a couple things first. To the body here, those of you who are visiting, you can just tune it out right now. This is for this body right here. Tremendous bulk of our budget in this church goes to missions. And just between all of us right here and now, you know, to pull a team off like this, an outreach like we've just done, we're talking in the area of somewhere around about $138,000. And you say, oh man, that's a lot of money. Well, you know what? I guess if you're hooked on money, I guess it is. I guess if money's your God, it would be a lot of money. But like I said earlier, this is the best team that we've ever seen, best outreach we've ever seen. And I think the greatest results will be seen. But you need to, we as a body need to reprioritize constantly. I need to lay this out before you as these people are speaking. You need to ask the Lord, if you're a Christian this morning anyway, I think you need to ask the Lord. You need to be praying to the Lord and asking Him if He doesn't want you to go. Because Jesus said, like Sandy shared at the beginning, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said that to Christians. So you need to ask them, Lord, do you want me to stay? Because we're supposed to be going. Some people are senders, some are goers, but the body of Christ works together to do this. And the Lord did it. Like I said, we have another team in September coming up. And that needs to happen quickly. We don't know how long the doors are going to be open. They have a vote. Again, they're going to have a runoff between Yeltsin and the communist man who's running neck and neck with him. But I can guarantee you this. Personally, the Lord has laid on my heart, and I think He did from June 26th of 1992, when He first spoke to my heart about Russia, that doors open or doors closed, I personally will be going there. If it costs me my life, I'm dedicated to that and willing to die for that. And the Lord is passing the vision of this body on to others. We're excited about that. And God's doing a neat thing. You can see what happens when the gospel goes out and changes the lives of people. We have a couple of Russians that have come home. One of them just went back. In fact, believe it or not, we shot up a prayer. God, if you want us to happen to just, if it's in your heart to allow us to see Paulina before she gets to Russia, you know, Frankfurt somehow, we don't know when the flights are, but what if? And 30 seconds after we prayed that prayer, we heard a, and it was Paulina meeting up with Alina and I in Frankfurt, just because God is so good. And listen, when God, you know, we talked about the Russian people being down, somebody mentioned someone being very dirty. Listen, that's some people. The Russian people are very, very beautiful people, trying the best they can. In fact, they're doing better than what we could under such economic conditions. But this is what I said I'm going to probably get in trouble about. And I'm going to have you guys stand up as well. But first, I want my translator to stand up really quick and just go ahead. Stand up, Alina. That's the girl that we use. Okay, those of you who are on the team that just went over, those of you at this service on the team, why don't you stand up? And those of you on the prayer chain, why don't you stand up? Those of you in the prayer chain, praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Father, we ask you, Lord, to go before us, and God, that you continue your work. Lord, that you would have your way, and Father, that you continue to move this body in the area of reaching the gospel to Chino Hills, and Lord, to Chino and to Norco and Corona, and Lord, to St. Petersburg and wherever else. Father, bless the missionaries, Lord, that we'll be hearing from shortly, that we love and support in Siegen, Germany, and Alan Cecil in China. Father, we pray, Lord God, for what you're doing here. Jesus, may we not rest day or night until, Father, we've completed the task that you've sent us to do. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.